Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We confess that I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. We pray it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The forgiveness of sins. How often can I be sinned against and still have to forgive them? Jesus had just finished teaching Peter and the other disciples about how Christians deal with each other, how they deal with personal sins that had been committed against them within the church. That's Matthew 18. It assumes, of course, in this teaching that Christians will sin against one another. No, the Christian church is not going to be a house of perfect behavior, full of men and women who never do wrong, who always love one another with everything they have, just as they love God all the time. No. The church is the collection of sinners who have been called out of the world, born again of water and the Spirit, given a new nature while still contending with their old sinful nature, the corruption, as long as this life goes. So briefly, Jesus in Matthew 18, his recipe, his directions for dealing with someone when they sin against you. It's simple. Go to them. Go talk to them in all humility and grace. Note what Jesus doesn't say. Blab it to everyone else. Hold a grudge. Repay evil for evil. Get bitter. Blame the church. Blame God. None of those things are listed. It's simple. Someone sins against you, a Christian brother or sister, go to them. Speak with them. Love one another enough to count each other as fellow redeemed of God by the same blood of Jesus. Live in harmony as one family of God collected in one place, nourished and given new life by the word of our God, the word of the gospel. Love one another enough to not treat each other like the unbaptized do with their grudges, their slander, and their bitter hatred. So if sinned against, go and speak and be reconciled. In the face of that teaching, Peter asks a question. How many times? Seven? Jesus says 70 times 7, 490. Which is to say, as many times as they sin against you. That's how many times. And never stop forgiving. That with the forgiveness that you dish out to others, you show exactly what you believe about what God forgives of you. That if you refuse forgiveness to others, you have refused to believe in your own forgiveness from God. It's that simple. That to believe in the forgiveness of sins is to know and confess your own sins as real sins against a real God, as real sins against your real neighbors, and then to put your trust in that same God for the forgiveness of those real sins. And from that, being forgiven by God for all of your many sins, to forgive all of the real sins committed against you by brothers and sisters in Christ. As you've been forgiven, so forgive. If Peter had gotten his earthly generous way of forgiving up to 7 times. Of course, the 8th time he sinned against God, he sinned against his wife, he sinned against his mother-in-law, against his fellow disciples, against others in his life. The 8th time would be, of course, too much. No more forgiveness. And yes, according to the earth's standards, according to this humanity, our culture, and our society's standards, that might exactly be generous. But the world doesn't know. The world doesn't understand forgiveness. And so it's foolish to expect them to understand something that is so of God. That the unbelievers, the unbaptized out there, don't know anything about forgiveness. They neither receive it for themselves, nor will they really give it. At least never in any kind of divine way. May God grant them repentance and true faith in that forgiveness of sins, the real forgiveness of sins found in Christ Jesus alone. But Matthew 18 is about brothers sinning against one another, Christians sinning against one another. And to not forgive then is to confess that God has run out of forgiveness, that he's just plumb out. And that would mean, of course, that we are all lost. Each and every one of us. It would be to confess that Jesus only died for some sins, and that his well of salvation was drilled too shallow and it is now exhausted. No. What do we believe about God and his forgiveness? What do we believe about the death of Jesus Christ our Lord? How many sins does the suffering and death of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, how many sins does that cover? Jesus gives us a clue in the parable. The debt of the servant in that parable this morning is greater than anyone could ever imagine. It's roughly like 10,000 years of debt for one person. That is to say, it's just a drop in the bucket of the real sins that we ourselves have committed against God. Yeah, our sins are that many. Yet like the servant's first response at the threat of punishment, we often think somehow we're going to be able to repay God for our sins. That this is the greatest delusion that has ever been born of the sinful flesh. The idea that somehow we will be able to repay God for our many sins, that we can somehow make it right. But behind that thought is to say that his word, God's word, is lies. Or to start thinking that our sins really aren't that bad, or that many. This is to look at Jesus and view his suffering and his death really as unnecessary and wasteful. If we think we can atone for our own sins and make them right, why Jesus? This is, of course, to come up with a whole different way than what God has ordained, than what God has done, what God has finished by the work of the bloody work of the cross by Jesus Christ. And may God forbid that such a thought, which comes naturally to the sinful flesh, God forbid that such a thought might ever grab your attention and hold it. And if you are ever tempted that you need to be able to do something to make up to God for all that you've done, and that by that you would atone for yourself, you think and take that thought and cast it back into the liar that planted it into your ear. And then you work to put to death the flesh that even hinted at such a thought. No one can repay God. The debt of sin is too great for us to pay. That's why in the parable, the king had to forgive the debt. There was no way for that servant to repay it, no matter how deluded he was in his desperate and proud thinking. Now you know this. When a debt is forgiven, It's not that it just disappears. That means that somebody else has paid it. And in the case of your sins against God, of course, that is the work of Jesus. For there is no forgiveness of the guilt, no forgiveness of the punishment of it, without Jesus. And for you to have the forgiveness of all of your guilt, for you to have all the punishment you deserve according to God's law and His wrath and so forth, according for it all to be taken away, all to it to be forgiven, Christ Jesus had to take it upon Himself. And the words of sacred scripture teach us that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did. That God would be both just and the justifier of all. Now, this forgiveness is something totally outside of the earthly kingdom. It is something of the kingdom of God. Therefore, as most things are in the kingdom of God, it is something of faith, something that is believed. And that faith, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, that is tested and it is tried inside of you. It is tested and tried inside your conscience. It is tested and tried in the vexation of your spirit when you are prompted by the word of the law to realize your many sins. It is tested when you ask yourself, is it too much? Have I gone too far? Does God really forgive me? Can you really be forgiven? The devil, the world, and your sinful flesh want you to be all tripped up right there, to despair. But Peter's question, how many times must I forgive? How many times does God forgive? Just what did the death of Jesus earn? Do you presume upon yourself to be a greater sinner than God can forgive, a greater sinner than God a Savior? How much does God forgive? How many times? All of them. Every time. It's that our faith holds on to. That the forgiveness of sins is believed. And yet, like all things of faith, all things of righteousness that comes by faith in Christ, there is fruit in this life of this forgiveness of sins that we believe. That faith bears fruit. That forgiveness of sins from God will bear fruit in the forgiveness of others' sins towards you. That love from God will result in love for others. Mercy shown to you by the Father will result in you showing mercy to others. These are the fruits in keeping with repentance, and fruits in keeping with forgiveness. It is like what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Which is, of course, to mean that we pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. But He asks that He would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So, we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. Or when we confess that I believe in the forgiveness of sins in the Creed, we confess that in this Christian church, He, that is the Holy Spirit, daily and richly forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. You see, if God can forgive them for what they've done to you, you have no right to hold it against them. But this is the fruit of faith in Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. How many times, how many ways has God forgiven you? Then how many times should you forgive others? How dangerous is it to your body and your soul to not forgive? This is exactly why everything is as it is in the church. That it is the gathering of sinners who come confessing their sins, but trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. This is why the Word of God, especially the Gospel, is so prominent. This is why there is the absolution declared each and every week. This is why the sermons always keep going back to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is why the Lord's Supper is offered. That everything in the Christian church is geared around getting that forgiveness of sins that Christ Jesus earned for you. Getting that delivered to you here and now, where you live, where you're at, amongst the people you live with, amongst those who sin against you, that you would also then forgive them. That your eternal life is secure in God because of Jesus. And that with that eternity already being yours, your temporal life, your earthly life, would be shaped by that eternal life that you have by the gospel of Christ. A life that is forgiven by God. A life then that can be lived forgiving others as God in Christ has forgiven you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.